Where is God most powerful? Where does God's glory dwell? Where is God's power and presence most clearly made known? For many people, and myself included sometimes, God is conceived of as this massive and great being who kick-started everything when the world was created and then stepped back at a distance watching as our lives run their courses. Occasionally, God will intervene, stepping in for this and that, a miracle over there, a smiting over there. Every once in a while, we really want to know what God thinks about our personal plans, and so we ask, and it seems that we never get an answer that we want, or not any answer. No bolts of lightning or billboards painted with our answer or ecstatic epiphanies or grand moments of glory. So far too often, we are left frustrated. Frustrated because so many other voices seem to know exactly what God is thinking. So many voices that tell us we can know what God wants, or that we can experience God's presence if we truly want it or if we truly believe. To those who truly desire it, it is truly there. In some ways, it was far simpler in the old days. The old, old days. God's presence was neatly defined. God dwelt in a temple, and we remained at a safe distance. Still at a distance, mind you, but God was there. It was all very clear. God was there, and we were here. And to help keep God there and happy, we would go and offer sacrifices as instructed by God and his holy messengers to keep God happily and safely behind those walls. But then something happened. That temple was destroyed. That temple where God's glory dwelt was torn down by enemies. God evidently survived because it seemed that some of his glory got loose and wormed its way into some other folks. Some prophets who went around preaching the word of the Lord as the people were living in exile, in a strange land with strange gods. God was still far off, still distant, but some of that glory dwelt in humans who spoke words of love and exhortation to the people until they could return home. And when they did return home, they rebuilt the temple. And again, God dwelt safely behind those walls where the sacrifices could be made. And we lived outside, but we knew where God was. But then that temple was destroyed again, and what was left? Why does it seem like we live perpetually distant from God? Why so far removed from his glory? Sure, we don't want God's glory all that close. No human can see God and live. His glory is too much for our frail bodies. His glory could disintegrate us. So we don't necessarily want God right with us, but we'd like to know where God is so we can have some sort of access to him. The reality, however, the reality that humanity's separation from God, our distance, is not just a matter of physical location, not just a matter of here or there. There is a deeper separation because of sin. And God did not create the separation. God didn't create the world and step back. Humans brought about the separation by choosing to put ourselves in God's place, consistently choosing less than what God desired. Well, because of that, existence as we know it is broken. All of those ways that God's glory remained with us was not God keeping us at arm's length, but God seeking always to remain near, close to us until the right time when God would destroy all of the distance and make his glory most clearly known. here we are. On that day when we solemnly celebrate God's mighty act, bringing that power and presence to us all, not remaining distant any longer, in the beginning of creation, God desired to live among us. And when we fell, we pulled away from God. God, still desiring that we live in communion with Him, at the right time sent Jesus, true God and true human. And rather than have us continue to offer little sacrifices over and over, God offers the ultimate sacrifice, showing His power to enter into the ultimate separation, death itself. Death plagues us all and has been the consequence for our rebellion against God. Death is that ultimate separation, stripping us away from those that we love. God in Jesus enters into the ultimate separation, shedding His blood, handing over His life, so that we might, in exchange, find life and connection with God. Where does God's glory dwell? Most clearly and completely, God's glory dwells on the cross. It is there that Jesus shows His power over death by entering into it, so that He might destroy it, providing hope that our separation from God and one another will not last. Jesus is lifted up, exalted, enthroned upon the cross, so that all the world might see God's power in its fullest. And we move now toward the celebration, when we begin to understand exactly what the end of death will mean for us in the resurrection at the end. But even after His resurrection, the risen Lord continues to bear the marks of the crucifixion on Him. Even now, Jesus is clearly known when we see those who are least powerful, who are most vulnerable, who are reckoned to be worthless. In all of the ways that people try to separate and create divisions among themselves, we should see Jesus there. As Jesus Himself was isolated and separated and abandoned by His people and His followers. And here is God's power, that Jesus enters into death to end all the ways that death creeps into our world, and He saves the very people who brought about His death in the end. This is the radical nature of God's love, that He loves us, us sinful and broken creatures who would rather be our own gods for ourselves. And so God is not separate and distant, but fully present and engaging with us all the time. Too often we are looking in the wrong place for glory. Wherever there is brokenness and darkness, Christ is there. Whether in our lives as we grieve and dwell in the darkness of sin, or in the world as so many live distant from their neighbor. Christ is present, continuing to point to the power of the cross that seeks to end the brokenness, to shed light in the darkness, calling us to the hope of a life ultimately lived fully and completely for God. Thanks be to God. Amen.